Exponentially.
It's growing exponentially. And that is why, just on a side note, the biggest e-commerce battle in the world between Amazon and Alibaba is actually going to be fought in India.
Because of the sheer numbers.
Because of the sheer numbers and the size of the market.
And the thing is this, once you have communication, the boundaries start to go.
Yes.
And once the boundaries start to go, people realize they can travel. It's yes. not for the elite anymore.
Yes.
Right? How many low-cost airlines are there now in India?
So now you've got IndiGo, you've got SpiceJet, you've got many, many more coming up. You've got GoAir, you've got many more coming up. So actually, travel is now easy. Access is fine. Hotels are world-class. Not only our brand, but you know, even competing brands have fantastic world-class service hotels. And I think that's really the testimony. I mean, even if you look at the American consumer and look at Oberoi Hotels, we don't have a hotel in the United States. But whether you look at the Travel Plus Leisure Awards or you look at Lonely Planet or you look at TripAdvisor Awards, we kind of come up at the top across the board in spite of not having a hotel in the U.S. and voted by U.S. subscribers.
And in a given day or week, tell me the truth, how many weddings on elephants?
Well, in Rajasthan, now less than once a month, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know why? Because the wedding lasts a month.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, yes. If you've not experienced an Indian wedding, you must. But
yes.
But take your time, because you're going to be there a while.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's amazing. What's the biggest surprise for you about the growth of your hotels that you weren't expecting?
So I think the biggest surprise really has been, last year we were in New York and we won the best global brand hospitality luxury hotel brand in the world. And that was, and we won the best luxury hotel in the world. And when we did not have a hotel in the US, so we came back to the Whitney in New York, the new Whitney.
Yes.
And we did a big party there with Mr. Oberoi himself. Yes. Our 86-year-old chairman, we flew him down to New York to host the party. And it was amazing because we were very humbled, really, Peter, because we don't have a hotel in the U.S. and the U.S. subscribers
voted
for Travel Plus Leisure vote us as the best in the world. And it's just
Kapil
humbling.
Chopra, the president of Oberoi. You know, there's an old Groucho Marx line that he would never join a club that would have him as a member. When you go to an Oberoi hotel, you begin to think, maybe they're meeting somebody else named Greenberg. Why are they being so nice to me? And then you find out it has nothing to do with you. That's exactly who they are. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate
that. Thank you, Peter. Lovely speaking
to you. Back with more from the fountain and the pool here at the one and only here in Cape Town right after this.
Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the one and only in Cape Town, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know what to do. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. My next guest, well, runs this joint. He's the general manager named Richard Lyon. You know, I was here when they first opened this hotel, Richard, and, you know, at a time when there was so much development then, things got crazy, but you finally have stabilized now. I mean, this is a great location. You're right here on the waterfront.
It seems like all the stars are aligning this year. Business is booming. We are no doubt benefiting from the weak rand and the exposure that
Let's
that
talk about the weak rand. I mean, it must drive you nuts, but for me, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, the extra demand that it brings in actually is more of a benefit than anything else that it does as a harm.
I know about local goods and services that, you know, you really can't adjust the price of a tube of toothpaste or a cab ride or a Big Mac, God forbid.
Mm.
Can hotels adjust at all?
Yes, they can. We always have the ability with rates that we've contracted, if there are exceptional circumstances, that we can make reasonable adjustments, which we have, and all of our business partners quite understand it, because at the end of the day, the end user is not paying any more in their home
right.
currency.
In the old days, when the U.S. dollar was so weak, I would tell everybody, lock your rates in U.S. dollars.
Mm.
Now I tell them, lock your rates in rand.
Yes, exactly.
Which you don't want to hear.
We don't want to
hear
that.
No, you don't want to hear that. Absolutely not. But for buyer's market for tourists.
It is. And I think Cape Town deserves it as a city. It's a brilliant destination, and it's so wonderful to see everybody busy. It's not that we're being successful in isolation. All of the other hotels in town are busy. All the tour operators are busy, the guides, the drivers. So it's good for the economy.
What you really need now is better airlift.
Yes, we do. I mean, the icing on the cake would be a direct flight out of the U.S., one of the major hubs into Cape Town.
You're talking about a non-stop.
Non-stop into Cape Town.
Yeah, I don't understand. They have the range.
I know. It existed until, I believe the flight was pulled after 9/11. There used to be a direct
That's
flight.
That's really 15 years ago.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it would be wonderful if that came back again.
You know, it makes no sense because I remember knowing a number of South African Airlines pilots, they had the field day of all field days because they used to stop for fuel in Cape Verde Islands. And they kept their boats down there. They went fishing. They had parties all the time. That's because the planes didn't have the range.
Right.
Well, they had to sell all the boats. No. That's right. They're not stopping there anymore.
No.
Right?
I mean, last year, I've heard recently the stats that there were 155,000 Americans came to South Africa. But if you look at the circuitous routes that they came to do that, if you had that direct flight out of New York or Miami into Cape Town, I think that number would grow dramatically.
You know, we have state-of-the-art long-haul airplanes now that can do unbelievable long haul. I mean, the longest flight now in the world is Dubai to Auckland, and that's about 18 hours.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you could, it's easy. You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
And the problem is, the other problem with South Africa is airlift within it. Because if you want to go to Mozambique, you know, if you want to like add on a trip, try to go to Swaziland.
Yeah,
right now.
They are doing, they're doing a good job of increasing the airlift. I mean, we've now got direct flights into Maun in Botswana, which is a new addition. And they're a group called Westgrow, who are working with the government and with everybody, are really doing a big push to get more direct flights into Cape Town.
Yeah,
from all over sub-Saharan Africa, and then also the U.S. is one of their major targets.
Now, you know, one of the cool things about your hotel here, of course, if you like comfort level like I do, you got Nobu.
Yes.
I mean, everywhere I go, I was just in Monaco, Nobu, you know, I mean, I just follow the Nobus, you know.
It's a great product. I mean, it transfers anywhere in the world. The food is great. We're having our best year ever with Nobu here in Cape Town. And I think it's on most people's bucket lists when they come in here in terms of the top four or five restaurants that they want to go to.
Sure.
Nobu's on there.
And the one thing they have at every Nobu, which I always order, is the cod.
Yes, it's wonderful.
You have to, that's the one you start with.
Yeah.
And that's, you have that, you're good.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the yellowtail with the jalapeno peppers, right?
Isn't that nice? I always start with that.
See, we're on the same
track. Exactly.
Okay. What's the biggest surprise for people right now who come to Cape Town for the first time?
I think the beauty of the city, however well you try and describe it to somebody, until you actually arrive here, and when I say arrive, it can be as simple as getting off the plane, having come in from Europe where it's usually raining and grey and cold, and you get off and you see that Cape Town sky, which is as blue can be, and then you've heard about Table Mountain, and then you actually see it, and you just see how magnificent it is, and it just keeps getting better and better from there on.
Richard Lyon, the general manager here of the one and only, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I'll see you at Nobu.
Thank you.
All right, back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the one and only here in Cape Town and the Virtuoso Symposium right after these messages. What?
Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the one and only in Cape Town, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. One of the great food experiences is now South Africa. I remember when I first came here, the definition of sautéed was deep fried, and that was about 25 years ago. Things have changed radically in terms of sourcing and in terms of expertise in the gastronomic world. And joining us now, someone who knows a little bit about that, the award-winning chef of Ruben's at the one and only. And what a coincidence. His name is Ruben. Ruben Rafael, how are you?
Good, Peter. Good to join you this morning.
Yeah. So let's talk about what I just said. I mean, you remember when everything was deep fried. I mean, it was fish and chips time.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I was actually born in a town called Franschhoek. You know,
I know Franschhoek very well,
you know,
yes.
And I remember growing up there, what am I now, 42, the streets were very quiet. There was like two restaurants and the food was kind of heavy, you know, almost like Frenchified with lots of cream. I remember even the terminology on the menus were all these French names, but I didn't know any better. So I thought that was the way it was. I remember working as a waiter also in some of the hotels there. I never much liked sort of that type of food. I liked my mom's food more than what I tasted there. You know, just
how many of mom's recipes are on the menu here?
Well, there's quite a few dishes that was inspired by that. Basically.
Like? Yeah.
Well, you know, things like our pork dish, for example. You know, we've got this pork belly. I grew up, I always say, almost like in a farm environment. So my grandfather, he planted his own vegetables. He had some livestock, pigs and a few goats and things like that. So we lived off the land. I remember big sort of gatherings where there was a slaughter of the pigs, and then, you know, it was a whole big family gathering, and we would live off that animal for, you know, almost a month. So those.
What's for dinner tonight? Pork.
Yeah, again.
What's
and
for
again.
Breakfast tomorrow? Bacon.
Yeah, it was like that, you know. We didn't, and my grandfather, even on our patch of land, my dad liked to grow his own vegetables, and, you know, that's the way we grew up. My grandmother baked our bread. So back in the day, I didn't know that was so special, but, you know, thinking back, I know that was kind of special.
Well, nothing smells better than freshly baked bread.
Of course.
You know something's cooking, right?
Definitely.
All right, so what menu item here? You said the pork belly.
Yeah, you know, it's more, like I said, inspired by those dishes. You know, we didn't specifically just eat a Cape Malay-style food. It was a combination of some Dutch-influenced stews and dishes like that. But a lot of the times we had bobuati, we had all these.
You had what?
Bobuati. You know, I don't know
I
if
don't
you've
know.
Ever
Tell
had
me.
It.
No.
Yeah, so it's kind of like... minced lamb, and then it's flavored with a combination of spices, you know, turmeric.
Well, as long as it's not a haggis, we're good.
No, it's very far from haggis, actually. Yeah, yeah, it's not as scary looking either. It looks kind of appealing when you look at it. Haggis does it.
No, you know, haggis is scary when people tell you the only way to eat it is after you've drunk a lot of alcohol, right?
Or when it's very dark.
Yeah, right. So, what have you put on your menu? Forgetting mom and grandma, what have you put on your menu that you thought was really going to be great and nobody ordered it? And what have you put on your menu that you thought, nobody's going to order this and everybody ordered it?
You see, so when I started in Franschhoek, that was our first restaurant. So my approach was sort of like taking food, because we didn't want to go in the heavy fine dining direction. We wanted to do food that I saw a lot of people enjoyed eating when they go to more of the middle of the range restaurants, where it's fried calamari, you know, still not sauteed. It was properly fried.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
I took sort of like inspiration from that, and I wanted to put those type of dishes on my menu. So I had something like liver. You know, I grew up with eating livers, or calf's liver, beef liver. And I thought that was going to be it. You know, it was one. I can
tell you right now, not going to fly.
You know, it's just, I think it was probably because I loved it and I thought people would enjoy that as well. That was a bit of a flop. So
yeah,
I should have known
that.
I should have run it past you back then.
You should have listened to me. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the one that's the big success?
The one that was the big success was actually the our chili squid. So it's a combination of flavors. It's maybe a bit more Thai type of flavors, but I sort of, you know, again, when I was introduced to that, those type of sweet and sour flavors, I just fell in love with it. So
it's squid with a kick to it.
We make a little bit of our own chili sauce, but it's got ginger, garlic, everything in there. And then I make a salad, but it's got the flavors of mint and coriander, basil, radish, all these type of ingredients in there. And that... Back in the day, I think there wasn't a lot of those type of dishes, and I was surprised that people actually enjoyed it as much as they did, and it's still on the menu today.
There you go. So I can always order the squid with a kick.
Definitely. Well, extra kick as well, if you want.
How bad is that extra kick?
Not too bad.
I love it. Ruben Rafael, the chef of Ruben's here at the One and Only, and if you're really nice... And if you really ask him nicely, he might just slip you some liver. No? Okay. Hey, that music means we're out of time for the whole show. Lots of people to thank. Of course, Dara Stone, our chief producer back in California. Jeff Ryder doing the boards back on the East Coast of the United States. Kathy Jackway producing here with Tim Hill doing the engineering. Misty Ewing from Virtuoso and the beautiful Ashley Fleming. We'll see you guys next week from a different location somewhere around the world. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.